So the this New York Times feature, this end of the year look back on some of the cool people who died during the year, underwent a title change from last year to this year. Does anybody realize that fact? Last year it was called Lives Well Led. Lives Well Lived. I'm sorry. Lives Well Lived. And there was some controversy over that fact, because amongst the people who were featured last year were Richard Nixon, Kurt Cobain, and others. And even in the introduction to the issue last year, they said, well, there's going to be some people who are going to argue with us that these were lives well lived. Nevertheless, this is our way of presenting this. So this year, without any comment on the fact that they changed it, they did change it to the lives they lived. The lives they lived. This way, there's no chance of somebody going, excuse me, no. Which, of course, is silly anyhow. I mean, it's all, I think this is better. The lives they lived, I think, is actually, a more accurate description of what the thing is all about. And so there's a lot of cool people in here and a lot of cool writers and stuff. Martin Scorsese wrote about Ida Lupino, and Ken Kesey about Jerry Garcia. Camille Paglia about Elizabeth Montgomery. Now, there's an interesting combination of writer and subject. Huh? And Holly Brubeck. Do you know who this is, Holly Brubeck, the person who wrote about Ginger Rogers?
I think she does the fashion. She's the fashion editor of the Times Magazine. Uh-huh.
Though she had other roles and he had other leading ladies, Ginger Rogers has been enshrined in our memories as Fred Astaire's partner. A kind of spontaneous combustion took place when they danced together. They enhanced each other, as all good couples do. Other actresses cast opposite Astaire were invariably drawn into his orbit, overwhelmed by his charm. Only Rogers held her ground. And that's what I meant before when I said she was his perfect partner. She was the yin to his yang. She was just like, she was right on par with him. Hollywood today congratulates itself on its hard-won ability to depict lovemaking explicitly without resorting to metaphor. But this assumption fails to take into account one seemingly obvious fact: sex was never this good. The rapid-fire exchanges, the tenderness, the playfulness, the mutual respect, the shared delight, Fred and Ginger's union transcended the mechanics of intercourse. In a recent essay in response to Freud's famous question about what women want, John Updike concluded that women want to dance. Well, of course, we want to do what Ginger did. She danced for us all.
Do you know that they never kissed in any of their movies?
Is that true?
Yeah, supposedly there was never a kiss.
She slapped him in Top Hat a couple of times.
Yeah.
No kiss?
No kisses. In fact, there's one indicated kiss where they're like pushed behind a door. And then when the door is like open, then they like kind of look kind of dazed and happy. And the indication was that they had kissed, but they never actually show them kissing.
A fine romance with no kisses. So anyhow, those of you who are listeners to the show who, listen carefully, were aware of the fact that I was to be included as a writer in this issue, writing about our friend Allison Steele. I was very pleased and proud to have been asked to do this, to contribute something. And we've talked about it over the last couple of weeks, the ups and downs of writing something for the New York Times. But it did finally get in, and I'm pretty happy with it. And I'm thrilled, that Allison is recognized this way. I mean, there aren't, there are just a few dozen people in here. So to make the cut really says something. It's a real honor to make the cut for this thing. And the page that we are on is a cool one. There's Ken Kesey's piece on Jerry Garcia, and Lou Reed wrote a piece on Sterling Morrison, his bandmate from the Velvet Underground. And then there's Allison Steele. So that's nice. I'm real happy with it. I'm very pleased. All the old aunts are coming out of the woodwork. Calling up. They're so excited. Get a byline in the New York Times. All right. But it did change. You're absolutely correct. If you've been looking at this today and saying, that wasn't the name last year, The Lives They Lived, it was something else. You're right. It was called Lives Well Lived last year. But this year, it's The Lives They Lived. Now, in that opening set of music, we heard from Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes. I have a demo recording, an unreleased recording of some new Southside Johnny Asbury Jukes material that is called simply Rough Stuff. It's a kind of a sampler of some new material, and as I said, it's basically just a demo recording. There are no release plans for it right now. And I finally got permission from John to play some of this stuff on the air. There's a real beautiful, sort of a standard-sounding bluesy piece called King of the Night on here. That is a co-write. Johnny and not sure who this other person is. Someone whose last name is Noble. I don't know who Noble is. It's called King of the Night, and it fits my mood, certainly, on this loner's New Year's Eve to a T.
Battered old hat, black leather jacket, sad mournful cat, sweet moonlit racket. I slink through the alleys like some old time stalking as I go out walking, king of the night. I glide through my kingdom as it glows in the neon lights, king of the night, king of the night, king of the night. Thank you.
Twisting and turning, every new generation, and I'll be praying to my higher self, don't let me down, keep my feet on the ground.
there's something strange tonight, how all the buildings disappear up into the mist, like we're on the edge of heaven, on the edge of heaven. And the dirty gray streets and cars and the junkies all seem to be blessed, on the edge of heaven, edge of heaven. The trench coat warriors shuffle home, heads bent down for protection, on the edge of heaven, edge of heaven. I've got a God's eye view of it all from my perch on the 15th floor.
To the wall. If She's gone, I can't go on feeling 2 foot small. Everywhere people stare, each and every day. I can see them laugh at me, and I hear them say,
of course. The hay being conjured up by a guy named Jackie Levin. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. L-E-V-E-N. I believe he's from Scotland. I mentioned this album of his a bit earlier in the show. This album called Forbidden Songs of the Dying West. He's been in a number of bands over the years, the names of which escape me at the moment, but that's okay, it's all right. It's the end of the year, we're allowed to have things just kind of filter through us without leaving any residue behind. I have it on a piece of paper at home somewhere. I'll try and remember to bring it in. Jackie Levin and a song called Birds Leave Shadows. Birds Leave Shadows, with that hay that is so reminiscent of Beatles. I was looking for the original version of that. Was it a band called The Silky who did Hide Your Love Away originally, before the Beatles actually got around to recording it? But I couldn't find it on any of those British anthology collections. Nate Outerkirk did Edge of Heaven. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play something else from Nate's album and also something else from Jackie Levin's album as well, so you get to sample some different sounds from two fine new albums released here at the end of the year. Van Morrison's Ancient Highway, of course, coming out of a real nice Dexter Gordon rendition of Body and Soul. It was because of that line in the Southside Johnny song, King of the Night, which is an unreleased recording. As I say, it's part of a demo CD that sort of floating around right now of some of Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes new songs. Jukes will be down in Red Bank tonight, as a matter of fact, down at the Count Basie Theater for the traditional New Jersey New Year's Eve celebration. But there's that line in that song about some sound that sounds, it's like a ballad by Dexter, you know? And just Johnny conjuring up the image of Dexter Gordon in that song. The first time I heard it a couple of weeks ago, I just went, oh yeah, And I went and like looked, and I didn't have any Dexter Gordon CDs. I had a bunch of old scratchy records, and they didn't satisfy me, these old scratchy records. So ever since then, every time I go into a music store, I manage to find another Dexter Gordon album, and I buy it and bring it home. And I've been listening to a lot of Dexter Gordon over the last couple of weeks. So Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes with King of the Night from Rough Stuff, an unreleased CD demo recording of about seven songs. Dexter Gordon's Body and Soul, Van Morrison, Nate Outerkirk, Jackie Levin, and of course the Beatles here on Idiot's Delight. It's a loner's New Year's Eve. We got to pause for these messages and then some more music from Nate and Jackie.
So you're staring blankly at your PC wondering, I have trouble loading my dishwasher. How the heck am I supposed to load Windows 95? If you went to Tibet and you found a wise man, he would say,
Om, with help from the installation wizard, most people can install Windows 95 in 1 hour or less.
Unfortunately, this isn't Tibet, and I don't have a beard. I don't even have a dishwasher. But even I can load Windows 95.
Microsoft Windows 95, what are you waiting for, my child?
Oh, man. Commercial's not there. Like, it wasn't queued up or something. And I have a mouthful of gumbo. Hold on a second. This is embarrassing.
Latondra Jones, college student and Army reservist.
The money I get through the Montgomery GI Bill is a tremendous help.
And reserve training is very rewarding. If there's one thing it has taught me, it's being committed to getting a job done and doing the best I can. I plan to pursue my PhD, and I'll need that kind of discipline.
Army Reserve, money for college, and more.
Be all that you can be in the Army Reserve.
For details, call 1-800-USA-ARMY, paid for by the U.S. Army Reserve.
I'm dining on Buddy Guy's gumbo this evening, evidently. Well, Buddy himself didn't make it, but it's Buddy's recipe. And producer Manning, in honor of New Year's Eve, has prepared some gumbo. It's quite good. It's very good, as a matter of fact. I'm just commenting on Buddy Guy's gumbo here, producer Manning, and how I got caught with a mouthful of it when the commercial that was supposed to run wasn't queued up properly. This is real good. It's a seafood gumbo. It's got shrimp and what, a little crab meat in it as well, and okra and rice. And I should be playing New Orleans music, actually, shouldn't I, in honor of this meal? But I'm not. Maybe maybe a bit later on. But it's Buddy Guy's gumbo, huh? This is Buddy's recipe.
Well, supposedly it was Buddy Guy's gumbo.
Yeah, well.
It looked like an intriguing gumbo.
It's very good. And I am a gumbo connoisseur, as you know.
You are?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yes, I am.
It passes the gumbo the gumbo test, the Great Vin gumbo test. Very good.
Really
fun. An appropriate New Year's Eve meal here on Idiot's Delight. Now, I want to go back to these two albums, Nate Outerkirk's album, which is called Perfect Wave, and Jackie Levin. His album is called Forbidden Songs of the Dying West. From Nate's album, we're going to hear a song called These Are Things. These are things that make me happy, such as a nice big bowl of gumbo.